Hello, this is Herb Burns, and welcome to the podcast, Three Men for Thee in a Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We hope to share with you current faith-based topics from authors, community leaders, pastors, and you, the listener, as well. Your hosts for these podcasts are Herb Burns, Jack Bells, and Alan Brown. You can email us with your questions at 3, that's the number 3, MFT at mail.com. Once more, that's 3, MFT at mail.com. We will be posting podcasts bi-weekly and look forward to your comments and questions and hope you will continue to listen to our interviews as we explore topics in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.
We have another premier speaker, each speaker at the event, Raven Harrison, and she had a great conversation not too long ago on stage.
Yes.
And she's here to share with us her mission and vision and what her walk is in life and how she's inspiring other people. So we'll just have dialogue, Jack, start off with questions.
Okay.
And then we'll just see where that will take us. We'll talk about 15, 20 minutes.
Let's do it.
Do it. Okay.
Well, thank you, Raven, for taking time out with us. We appreciate it. One of the things that I get excited about and the listeners get excited about is hearing how it is that our Lord, who reaches out to everybody in the room, how he reached out to you and introduced himself. So could you share with us the story of how you came to Christ?
I will, and thank you for having me. It's an interesting story. I grew up Catholic, so we had an understanding and a belief of God. That's been there. I was baptized very early. Firm believer that there's two pivotal times in a Christian's life, when you accept God as your Savior and when you find out why. And the first part came very quickly in my life, but we didn't really have a relationship. I feared God. I respected God. I loved God, but I didn't understand how to access that relationship until, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And as it would have it, I, just a normal day, March of 2017, Trump had just been elected, and I thought most of the pouting was done. And I got a call from my daughter's elementary school 15 minutes before the end of school and said, you need to come get her. She's being expelled.
Ooh.
And I said, expelled? My daughter, who's never been in trouble, I said, for what? And she wouldn't tell me. She said, you just need to get here right away. And when I got to the school, I found an hysterical, I've never seen her like that before or since. Hysterical, hyperventilating, broken out in hives from being so upset. And she couldn't even tell me. I said, why does she look like this? And they said, we had an election in school today. And I went, you're studying civics? And she said, no, your daughter voted for Trump.
Oh, no.
And my husband and I were legitimately like, she's 8. I'll high five her later, but you're kidding, right?
Right.
So I had no words for that. I said, where's the rest of it? What did she do? I'm still waiting. And they said, we can't have this. And they attempted to expel her from school.
This public school. Right?
This public school, but it was the best school. I took a house I hated, you know, and she said, the only one in the school, you know, as if that made a difference. And I went, wow, remind me to high five her later. But the seeing my daughter like that and feeling like my number one job and mandate from God was to protect this life that I had brought in, that was my focus, just being the worst Martha Stewart I could manage. And now this, and when I got home, I ended up on my knees, which is where it should have started. But I was broken as a mother. I said, how did this happen? I said, God, I don't know what to do. I went and got her the best schools. I do her homework every night. How did this happen? And it was a really humbling experience to tell God, I don't know what to do. I thought God made me strong so I would know what to do and know how to handle things. And it was just a very revealing. And I said, God, please help me. I don't know what to do. I don't know if my daughter will ever trust anybody again. And the very next day, my phone rang. And it was somebody I had never heard of. It was a chairman of a very high, prominent GOP club. And he said, have you ever thought about running for office? And I said, who in their right mind would want to run for office? But I apologize. I guess he was right. But what it taught me was he's always hearing, he's always answering, and he has a plan for everything. Our life has changed so drastically since then because I believed him for the answer. And he brought a bishop into my life. He was on this stage last year, Bishop Ronald Archer. Oh. And he began mentoring. He said, God has called me to mentor you. And I'm like, who are you?
Wow.
But it's God put the people in front of me. And he taught me how to access this relationship. He goes, Raven, it's not our dictator. It's our Father. He's your Father. You know what I mean? And he has the pride in you. And he has called you for something. And I went, I mean, my mind was blown. Of thinking God is watching me
out of
the corner of his eye and realizing that's what they mean when they say his yoke is light of going, you know what, God, and he handled it. We moved back. I stepped up. I ran for office. It didn't go exactly as we thought, but it went exactly as God. And now I'm here.
I'm in Texas. Yeah.
I have a book. I have a podcast. Wow. My daughter is 13 and bold in God and understanding that, you know, he lights it a step at a time. He doesn't need me to have it figured out. He just needs me to show up. And that's what I do. I show up and I bring it.
I know you got your camo on. Is that part of the
message? We're
okay.
You know, takes a really God-fearing to be able to go camo and heels, Patriots. That's how we do it in Texas is, you know, high heels and camo. I'm getting a lot of comments about that. But yes, spiritual war. And it's just a boldness. It's both my parents are retired Air Force lieutenant colonels. And I'm married to a retired C-17 pilot. So we're a military family and, you know, love our military patriots, love our original freedom fighters. And
absolutely.
That's what we need. I think that's what God is telling us now is, you know, when he says put the full armor on, it's not to sit on your sofa and shake your fist at the TV.
Yes.
So report to this line, Patriots. We're in a war right now. We have a country we get to save.
That's right. We'll see. Well, I can't tell you just from that brief paragraph or so how much that encourages me, because I'm one of the ones that's very discouraged by the darkness that has descended and this chaos that we're in. In my 72 years, I've never seen it quite like
this.
And it's easy to forget that we are in a battle, but God is the victor. He's the general. He has the power to execute his will, but he expects us to do our part. Would you agree?
Correct, because he said, occupy till I return. And my mom used to say, God has the power to show you who's God. And what that means to me is, he will reveal it to you. All you have to do is ask. The answer may already be out there, but we're not always patient. And this has all been written in the scripture. He told us, he gave us the plan, and it's the broken. He uses the broken to administer to the broken. And what was really inspiring to me was in the Bible, you know, because I thought, how could God use me for anything? I'm nobody. The Bible is full of nobodies. Okay. Paul was killing Christians for sport. And he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament.
Yes.
And Moses was a stutterer. And David was the runt of the litter. And God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies who he calls. But what it takes is we need to be at that level of outrage. Because I feel like Christians now are, you know, God, please, you know, move the Red Sea. He didn't move the Red Sea. He parted it so we could pass through. And David didn't pray, God, make this rock hit that. He knew, his faith told him that it would hit with pinpoint precision. And that's where Christians need to be at this point of going, okay, faith without works is dead. So we got to get to this line. Everybody has a role. You were made for this time. You were made for this time of all the passages in the Bible, that he selected those to inspire us, to teach us. And now you think that, you know, he made us so that you can have a fabulous house and car. He made it because it's time, Patriots. He is raising his army. Let's go.
And you were put between us today. Thank you, Lord.
Well, we are thankful you are on our side.
Yes.
When you're talking about what happened to your daughter, That was, could you share, that was at, I'm not going to ask you the name of the school. What grade was that?
So that was, she was in third grade at the time, and my husband is a pilot, so we needed to be, we were in Orange County, California, which is supposed to be the Republican stronghold of California. But again, we weren't very political. My thought was they have 18 plus years to be grumpy, politically charged adults, but they only have 18 years to be children. This never dawned on me that this was happening. I do our homework at night. I was so caught off guard by this. And then just to see that it spread, we come back to Texas and there's issues with vaccines and they violated our HIPAA rights in a Christian school. They have war on our children. They know the adults, they can't do anything with us. They have to go after the children. Yes. They have to recruit. And that's where we have to be vigilant. Parents don't realize we trust these administrators, and many of them are great.
You said this was in a Christian school?
The second one, the vaccine second thing one. Was in a Christian school. This was in a public school, but it was just proof that evil never sleeps.
Yes.
And that we cannot, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. That's what it means.
Now, there wasn't an issue in the first grade or second?
Not that we knew.
Okay.
Not but that we knew.
It sort of hit the fan in third grade.
Yes, and in third grade, so at this time, it's March 2017, and so Trump got elected. But I thought, we're already in March. We're three quarters of the way through the year, so I definitely didn't have anything like this on the radar, and we never spoke about it at home. So it was really, and I didn't even pull the gravity. She actually grabbed my child by the throat.
No.
Didn't know that because she had hives and she was all broken out. I had no idea till later. That innocent chirpy voice was like, yeah, she grabbed me by the neck and sat me to tell. And I went, because we would have been having this from jail if I had known she had put her hands on my child. And me, I was like, you don't get us fire breathers started. Don't tease me with a good time. So I was like, Paul, we can still run over to our house right now. What time is it? 10? Let's go. But it was just, and then understanding that that's when Jesus was talking about how hard it was to forgive, how it just felt like an outrage. It's my baby. That's my child.
How dare you?
Exactly. But channel that. And that's what I've been telling Christians. Channel that into action. I know Christians aren't voting. And it's like, if you're not voting, you're part of the problem. You're letting them run away. Okay. We're letting our country be destroyed by a man whose arch enemy is Corn Pop. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's where we have to. But this is what Jesus talked about, was being able, and I tell people, and this is profound. Are you with me, guys? You want to know what you would have done when Jesus was being dragged through the street? We're finding out now. You want to know what you would have done in 1776?
Yes.
Now we're finding out. If you're silent now, because back then we had already had tea in the harbor. We'd be fighting over the Earl of Grey Harbor right now if these were our founding fathers. So that's what I wanted to do on stage today, was just remind people of the sacrifice.
Yeah.
Most of the founding fathers met a terrible fate.
Yes.
By signing a death warrant for treason.
Yeah. Well, tell our listeners a little bit about your book that you've written.
The book is called Raven's Mantle. It's called Fighting the Betrayal of America. And essentially, it's a collection of stories you have to believe. You just couldn't believe. Because I'm the daughter of two Air Force colonels, it's been an interesting life. And what I'm going to do is, I had a parent in the Pentagon in 9/11. I talk about Patience's story of what inspired me to fight for schools and parents and God and everything I was raised with, the freedoms and how fragile they are. It also talks about, I was in the Vegas Massacre. Why am I on the front line?
Where are you? Wow.
I was in the Vegas Massacre, two fractured ribs and a spiral fracture. Innocently there for something completely nebulous, but first time I was ever there without my family, and wound up and a horrific massacre.
Wow, what year was that?
That was, what was that, like 2019 or 20, somewhere in there. But we did that. So basically, I'm taking people through the Cold War, what it was like, because we had a Cold War. But a lot of people don't remember that when the walls came down with the Soviet Union and Russia, China said, we're next. And that's where we are now. So we have the recipe. We have the ones who were storming the beaches on Doomsday. We have got to channel those ones who fought for freedom to the ones who just talk about it, and to make sure our generation does not lose that spirit of understanding how once they're gone forever.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to Ukraine this November, and hopefully I'll have a chance to inspire and share testimonies and work in We Care centers to give out clothes and food to help them, those that have
because
lost
wars are a lot of casualties from these war, and I've seen a lot of them with my parents, both, not just one, but two Air Force colonels. I'm going to tell you, I got away with nothing.
Now you obviously are way younger than we are.
I don't know about that. I just
yes, you are. Yeah.
I'm
50.
I just had a birthday.
Yeah, you're way younger than us.
Way younger. But when you were a girl,
yes,
and going to school, did you have anything like this? Did you ever see anything or have anything like this happen to you?
Nothing like this. The difference then was since I'm Native American, a lot of people just didn't know. But they, you know, they did. I felt like people always had this urge to put you in a category. They had, you know, I used to get, what are you? I'm like, what does that mean?
So what is your tribe?
I am Lakota Sioux and Cherokee.
Okay.
Wow. So I'm of two tribes, but which means some part of me is always at war.
Okay.
But I love it. But it was something I wasn't really comfortable in my own skin. You know, military parents, I didn't have the typical mom home baking cookies. Mine, your mom wears combat boots. I said, you have no idea. But it was really, so it took me a while to kind of grow in to the warrior and just being comfortable in my own skin, and which I am now, but I wish now I had kind of owned it. But it definitely was nothing like this. We just went to school. I can't even imagine while my parents were out fighting, if they came home to a story like this of saying, oh, by the way, mom, you know, they violated my HIPAA rights in class, or by the way, you know, dad, I was thrown out of school, you know, for voting. You know, it was just unreal for the rights you fought for.
Dude, I used to teach at a community college and I retired from it, but recently they invited some high school kids over for a recruitment tour of the campus. But while they were on campus, they had a gay pride event and they had a drag queen dance in the face of a junior high school student. What a crime that is.
And it is a crime.
It really is a crime.
Because people get on me and I take a lot of heat. You know, the abortion people come after me. How can you as a woman support? And it's like, well, you guys used to say if you didn't have a uterus, you don't have a vote. Well, I've got one, you know? And so it's just, but it's funny that I want people to hear this. I hear this a lot. How could you vote for Trump? How could you, you know, it's like, you want to tell me how to be a minority? Go sit down. I got this. I've been doing it a long time. But what I tell people is how is it any different of you telling me what I should think, what I should feel, who I should vote for? And I'd say that to anybody on either side of going, this works for me. But I tell people, I am a Republican. I'm a constitutional conservative. I am a Christ-loving patriot. This works for me. But the truth is, I'm fighting for your right to disagree with me.
That's an excellent point. Well, Raven, you are inspiring. Maybe I should ask this after you. Yes. But you're not local.
I am sometimes. My father, as it would have it, is he has his main place up in Washington, D.C., and he has a place down here in Asheville, guys. So he comes down here for shooting competitions, and we used to spend a lot of time down here when I was growing up. So I feel like I can claim North Carolina too, but I was born in Texas, but we spent a lot of time here. So I'm here quite frequently, usually about 5 to 7 times a year.
Well, Herb and I are really some conservative organizations that would just love to have you come on the street.
Amen. And I would love if you guys bring the barbecue. Let me tell you, my son can do that, and he can Robin Hood. Like his mom, put the bullets right on top of each other in the middle of the target. Come on, baby.
There you go.
It's just, and that's what it is now. You know, she's shooting, she's packing, you know, usually. But thank you. And it's just time. And I tell people, walk with the boldness.
Yes.
You know, trust God. If you really, I mean, faith is the evidence of things believed but not seen. And it is the muscle. And it says in the Bible, without faith, it is impossible to believe, to please God. So if you don't believe he's going to bring us through this, you don't believe he has a plan, then you're not reading it right. Read it again.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Such boldness. Wow. This, I mean, you are contagious.
Is God fire? Come on.
This is what we need right here.
We got to do it. And you got to do it. And just telling them, and I did. I said I was going to put a breathalyzer on Pelosi's podium. and I meant it. And now we're going to put a 3-digit crayon lock on there for, you know, corn pop. But this is what we have to do. We have got to embolden our patriots again and just stop. We're not asking to take our country back.
We have to. I was reminded, I've said this several times, but I was thankful that there was a man named George Washington who was willing to pick up the gun.
Come on.
And use it. And we're not advocating getting out in the streets and start shooting people.
Correct.
But we've got to get in the fight and take it to the end, or they're going to just overwhelm us.
And the fight takes different avenues. Yeah. I mean, Rosa Parks didn't flip over the bus. She said, no. That's how it's done. And it's now they're going to send a round of lockdowns and mandates. No. That's how it's done. Hey, Raven, you know, why don't you put this thing in your body that's not tested and, you know, then we'll let you have your rights. How about no? So that's what I need to get people aware of is that, you know, why do you need an AR? You know, this, I don't have to tell you. It doesn't matter what I need it for. I'm allowed to have it. You know, well, nobody needs to, you know, hunt deer. And I said, let me tell you guys something. I got to do this. Okay, so... Nobody shows up deer hunting with an AR-15, okay? And if you believe that, then I need to introduce you to my assault SUV, my assault toilet paper holder, and my, can you just stop the, you know, Biden, if you put this mount a pistol on a gun, it becomes, oh, stop it.
Yeah. What about all the rocks that killed?
Go take a nap.
What about the rocks that killed people?
You know, that's right. We got to ban rocks.
Yeah.
You know, and I just of just letting people, you know, the founding fathers had not just finished deer hunting when they wrote that, they had just finished liberating a country. Yes. So the right means I don't have to tell you what I need it for. And you shouldn't be spending your time. You don't want one, don't get one. Okay. But more for us. But what I will tell you is we have to be that bold. And that's what the pushback looks like of simply, you know, of just simply, and I just happen to do it in a very sassy way, but
a way that is needed in the day
which
you and I live.
Have to, because if we don't get this right, our kids have no chance. None.
I look at my 10-year-old grandson and I just well up inside because the place we're leaving him. I know how my parents left it to me.
Yes.
And how I tried to leave it to my daughter.
Yes.
But now the challenge is those kids, those 10-year-olds, 13-year-olds that are coming up now, are they going to see the same kind of life and country that we had?
That's our burden to make sure that they see that, to raise the next generation, not only to fight for their country, but to teach them how to fight for it. That's our mandate from God. Occupy till I return. And I know God. I'm not the one going to be up there with a harp.
So as we begin to close this out, what would be the message you want to send to our listeners to take with them, take this on home?
Patriots, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies who he calls. Everybody in that Bible was a nobody. Everything God wants to do with you is bigger than you can do on your own. So accept it, yield. He wants to bless you. He wants to bring you in, and he has been faithful. So we know we can trust God. Can he trust you? Get to this line. You know, this is your time. This is our time to stand and support and to hear the words every patriot needs to hear, which is well done, faithful service.
Good and faithful. Well, thank you, Raven.
Yes,
so
thank
much.
You.
Wow.
Thank you so much. Yes.
Thank you for having me.
Amen. Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, if a man dies, shall he live again? The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We all have to admit at some time, someplace, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death, and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Acts 8:20 says, "But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.'" No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the Scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The Scripture tells us He was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus Himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name." Acts 16:31, "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" And so we close this podcast with this invitation. Christ says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool." If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.